living pirush of the kina and ruima dvarim leimrum, I first need to a little bit talk about it, him, about the whole metzias. There was a tiny, tiny place in Europe called Kelm. It was a yeshiva that never had more than 30 or 40 talmidim, and it meant to kept that way. It was founded by Reb Simcha Zissel, who was one of the three talmidim of the of Reb Yisrael Salanta, who was known as the Alta from Kelm. And the yeshiva was miyusid on creating people that are shlemistic as could possibly be. That was Kelm. They did not want to expand. The stories of the self-control, Nuchas HaNefesh, the Gavus HaDas, everything about Kelm, extraordinary place. Rav Dessler learned in Kelm. All the great Musa figures learned in Kelm. The Alta Slabodka was close to Alta Kelm, was a Talmud Chava. Rav Yeruchim was a Talmud of Kelm. Rav Chatzel Levenstein was a Talmud of Kelm. Rav Dalia Lopian was a Talmud of Kelm. It was even some Rashid, Rav Tolly learned in Kelm. Rav Dessler learned in Kelm. Kelm was the place that produced the sparks that would become the giants of Musa and all the other yeshivas. The Alta's son-in-law took over, he died young, his son took over afterwards, and the last mashgiach for the last decade or so, I think, approximately, was somebody called Rav Daniel Mofshovitz, who was a son-in-law of the Alta's son, Rav Nachum Velvel, and a brother-in-law of Rav Dessler. Rav Daniel was a goyin adim. Kovne Rav, the Dvar Avram, Avram Shapiro said he doesn't think there's a mind like his in all of Europe. That's how he rated him. His self-control, his goodness. People described he was very tall, drawn, with piercing black eyes, and the community would, the people in Kelm would try to beat him, to tell him good morning every morning, and very rarely did anyone succeed. He was always the first to greet everyone. He was offered to become Mashgiach Rimei Yeshiva, which was the most chashuv job after Yeruchim's Nifta, and he declined. He wanted to stay in Kelm. Rebbe Elchanan Wasserman used to come to the Chavetz Chaim every Elul, and he stayed in Radin, he would stay there Elul. When the Chavetz Chaim was Nifta, he started coming to Kelm, to Rebbe Daniel, who was actually younger than him. Someone asked Rebbe Elchanan, Neil's very chashuv, but I mean, you're by the Chavetz Chaim, now Rebbe Daniel, what did Mara Issa? Rav Chanan was very, very measured. Every word of his was measured, every description. Rav Chanan's words were point by point. And he said, Koyamah Hashem, Hashemayim kisi v'aretz adayim raglai. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, the heavens are my throne, and the world is where I put my feet on, my footrest. Vel ze abit, the pasuk goes weiter, then skip a pasuk, vel ze abit, but who do I look at? El ish oni onichei ruach v'chored al dvarai. I look at a person. The person that I'm looking at is the one who is selfless, humble, and totally concerned with what I have to say. That's how Rabbi Chanan described Rabbi Daniel. Rabbi Chanan didn't use words. Rabbi Chanan's words were measured. That was the person who stood ahead of it. When the Nazis came in, it was in 1941. It was Av. They killed twice in Hey Av and Chavtes Av. They killed out. I'm not sure which one the yeshiva was, which one of the two. But when they took them, they took the whole yeshiva, killed them. He asked to say a few words. Now, the first thing was, the Germans were a little tired. It was a big battle. So they asked the Lithuanian peasants if they could do the job for them, and they kindly agreed to do the job for them. They were the ones who killed. He asked to say a few words. I'll get back to it in a minute, what he said, because that's Nagethra Pirish. When he finished, he turned to them and he said, I finished my job, now you start your job. And they killed them all out. That evening, there were two or three or four that was saved. I have the leftovers saved. One of them I know, and he's the one who wrote this account. His name was Jacques. I think of Jacob Jacques. He used to live not all that far from the yeshiva, from the mir. And his son was, it's a person, known person. He wrote it up, and Reb Dessler wrote it from him right after the war. He got the. They made a party, and they used the dishes that they had pilfered from the Jewish homes, and clothing, and they forced three or four people to be waiters, and that was the end of Kelm. Reb Daniel, as he stood by the pit, told them, by the Asaras Harugim Malchus, we say it in Tisha B'Av, Yom Kippur, the slight shinuyim. And it says that, over there in Yom Kippur, it says that Shmuel started screaming when he came to place a tefillin. The Malachim said, is this Torah Nischar? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, if I hear another koil, I will return everything to Tohu. The Tohu Ashisehu. And they stopped. So Daniel asked, what's the pshat? So he said, what's the pshat? Like, why would he Tohu Ashisehu if they would scream further? So Daniel said, pshat's the other way around. The world was in a matzav. It had run out of all schusim of Kiev, all schus of Kiev. If there wouldn't be a kapara, vasaras urgimalchus, then the world goes back to toyim. That's its mitzvahs. So it's not as a punishment to Malcolm screaming, it's the other way around. If you will stop me, I'm warning you, we're on the verge of toyim. He said, we're at the same situation today. The world is at the verge of toyim. And we have to have in mind that we should be the kapara, that the world has a suski. That was Reb Daniel. If we were standing there, if we were in Reb Daniel's place, what would we say? It's 1941. The Nazis are all over. All over Europe. Stalin is wickedness itself. Russia and all of Eastern Europe, all of Russia is enveloped by a vicious that rivals the Nazis. America is still doing paperwork. They didn't even let in the amount of people that they could have let in under the laws because the proper processing wasn't. Till the end of the war, they couldn't properly process. England couldn't let them into Israel. The good people were kind of busy with paperwork. Their neighbors that they'd lived with for centuries in decent relationships were going to shech them out and have a ball that night using their bgadim and their things. All we say, Ribbono Shalom, make it toyo. The world doesn't deserve kiyum. Take it back. It was a bad mistake. That's what we would say. But there were big people who said, "Loitoyu bro l'shevus yitzara." It can't be that a kodesh. This can't be. It's a toyu. But in the toyu, there's a grain. Avraham Avinu, who was the big bal chesed, stood by Stein, who was the antithesis of everything that he stood for, and he said, "There must be a if a kodesh baruch who made it, there must be a kernel of something worth saving Stein." HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon is that the world be. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want a model. So yes, with the eyes of a bus of a dumb, or the eyes of where we are, where bus of a dumbs, that's the. I don't think any of us could have said anything more than Ribbono Shalom, make it toyu. That's what the world is. But there's an Arzei Levonin. There are giants who had a different cook. When you're very tall, you can see far away. The person that Rav Hanan described as the one felze abit ish oni nechei ruach. Where would we be today if we would have people like that? We would have one point, a speck, that would produce people of that caliber. All the things that we look at around us, that we read about and see, that a hefech, the pharis of Klal Yisrael, that a hefech, the goodness in Pe'er, we're stuck. On the one hand, things are so good, so much Torah, so much pilpul deraisa, so much, so many sfarim. On the other hand, something's missing in Gadlus HaAdam, in Tzuras HaAdam, and so on. Because we're missing. That's what we're missing. That the core, the jewel, the crown jewel of Klal Yisrael was there. Rav Dessler writes an extraordinary moving letter about it. About how people never saw anything in Kelm because their eyes are not open to seeing. They can't see. What we are, the frustrations that we have with our own ineptness and ruchnius and smallness and so on, because we don't have the big people. Rev Volber, when he writes in his Akdama, in Ali Shur, he writes an extraordinary indictment. He says, it's a sefer of hadrocha. He's writing a sefer to teach people how to be Bnei Torah. What do you mean a sefer to teach people how to be Bnei Torah? I mean, that's what Rebbe is supposed to do. That's what role model is supposed to do. And he says, ki einam, because they were taken in the war and so on. When he was in the Mir, it was Rebbe Rucham that changed his life, the way he describes so powerfully, and the Talmidim that kept it on. The understanding how much the Mir, the reason why there's such a Mir, Klal Yisrael's tzura starts from the top. And when we don't have giants like that, then our whole koyma can't be terribly big. This is how somebody looked at Asar Rugi Malchus when he became one of them. He saw that the choshech and the toyhu and everything is a covering for something, and the world is waiting for Gula. I was thinking when I read it, the way he said it, it's so fitting. He said, he told the guy, we finished our job, now it's your job. Yeah, that Akash Baruch Hu created Ummah of Klal Yisrael that can stand in 1941, tower above the Bria, and say there's Toiv to be had. And there's a Lithuanian Ummah that their job is to murder their neighbors and take their stuff and show how bad Ra could be. They did the job very well. The Oymek HaRa, if you want to learn of the Oymek of Ashchosa, the job was done excellently. That's where he stood. And he stood and towered above it. And in Arzei Alvana and Nadir Atayra, with Mekainen on all the giants that Kleisel's missed out, and therefore we are what we are and where we are. Thank you.